వారికి, శ్రీ భక్తి వేదాంతకి, గ్రంథరా శివ భగవతానికి, గిరిరా మహారాజుకి, జోయినితో గోపురమో నుండి పురుషోత్తమకి జయ హో. So what did we discuss in last night's class?
I want to say something.
Yeah.
If sex is the enemy of the soul,
yeah,
then why we are after this so much?
Because we want
too much infatuation.
We want to enjoy separately from Krishna.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In my institute, I'm talking about New Delhi, Oriental Institute of Medical Sciences. Our director was such a gentleman. He used to say always, Yati Narasya Pujyate Tattam Devam Tishtasi. Wherever there is worship of the demon, Devta, all the demigods reside there. And not only that, in one lecture he was saying, wherever they chant you the holy name, Lord is there. There is Ayodhya, there is Dwarka. Now when you go to India, things have completely changed. The whole newspaper, half the stories are just sex, nothing else.
Yeah. Same as in...
So appalling.
Yeah.
Conditions have become so worse.
Yeah, because when people are not in contact with God, with Krishna, then they go into material energy.
The God of Kali Yuga.
Yeah. That's it.
We have to get out very quick.
We have to preach, that's the main thing. Any other points?
And you see Jagannath, you see, so happy.
He's a good boy.
So enthusiastic in the class. He must ask a lot of questions. So this chicken.
Any other points? Okay. So we'll continue. Tonight we'll finish chapter 14, verses 43 to 49. So we're speaking about the final pastime of Pururava and Urvashi. So who is Pururava? Yeah. Yeah, he's part of the solar dynasty. Yeah. He's actually part of the lunar dynasty. He's coming from the moon god. Moon god gave birth to one son. What was the son of the moon god called?
Buddha.
Buddha, yeah, it means Mercury. And then, gradually, Pururava came. And then Pururava became attracted to Urvashi. And now Urvashi is wrecking his life. Actually, he is wrecking his life because he's become attached to Urvashi. So she preached to him, and tonight we'll hear about the final part of the chapter. Very powerful. So the verses we read last time are some of the most powerful verses in the Bhagavatam about attachment to women. You have to be very careful of attachment to the opposite sex. So we'll continue tonight. Okay. King Pururava then left Agnistali in the forest and returned home, where he meditated all night upon Urvashi. In the course of his meditation, the Treta millennium began, and therefore the principles of the three Vedas, including the process of performing Yajna to fulfill fruity activities, appeared within his heart.
One could even achieve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Yajna is intended to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While Pururava was meditating upon Urvashi, the Treta Yuga began, and therefore the Vedic Yajnas were revealed in his heart. But Pururava was a materialistic man, especially interested in enjoying the senses. Yatnas for enjoyment of the senses are called karma kandiya yatnas. Therefore, he decided to perform karma kandiya yatnas to fulfill his lusty desires. In other words, karma kandiya yatnas are meant for sensuous persons, whereas yatna should actually be performed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Kali Yuga, the Sangeetana Yajna is recommended. Yajna is Sangeetana Praya Dayantini Sumaya Dasha. Only those who are very intelligent take to Sangeetana Yajna to fulfill all their desires, material and spiritual. Whereas those who are lasting for sense enjoyment perform karma kandiya.
So what are the points here?
So Guru is doing karma kandiya yajna to fulfill his lusty desires.
Anything else?
Yes, I perform for the purpose of pleasing the Lord.
Any other points?
He should have been doing Vishnu Yajna.
He actually was doing Vishnu Yajna. We'll hear about that also. So. Anything else?
For meditation, that also we should follow. We should do Vishnu Yajna. It's easier. Mm-hmm. What meditation we do is that the person of their desires and fear and speech.
Good. Then, moksha karma? Good.
One point for me is before you pass coming for a particular way of worship, so again, my other thing is to do that even if you have time, then the further you believe the way of worship, no matter what it may be for the purpose of Bhagavatam, often, the eyes of Vishnu, the eyes of Vishnu. Bob Reparicharya and Prabhupada. So Prabhupada also clearly point in line between performing yajna in this case, because according to the four divas, the believers supposed to be very much even those who are material, only this is considered spiritual. Otherwise, the rest of it is material.
Any other points?
In Kali Yuga, it's suggested to do Sangeetana Yajna.
What does that mean? What does that mean? What is Sangeetana Yajna? Chanting together. Yeah, Sangeetana. So yeah, in Kali Yuga, we have to come together and chant. Chant and dance. And feast. And Harry Nam with Jai Jagannath. Any other point?
Just a question. Sankirtanam, when you're actually singing in congregation, is that the yajna or even our individual chanting is
also? No, Prabhupada says both. He says here in one of the purports, he says both. Whenever you're chanting, that is jagya. Says in Gita that the great best jagya is japa. The best sacrifice is japa. Like that. So whenever you're doing japa or you're doing sankirtan, that is jagya. So it purifies the atmosphere. Any other point?
I didn't understand.
Yeah, it means that Rupa Goswami says that there should not be motivation when you do your bhakti, the devotion. When you perform the jagga, there should not be motivation. So we see here that Sankirtan Jagya is meant to please Krishna and to achieve Krishna. That is the goal. So, in the previous ages, they did different types of jagya, or different types of performances of, or particular ways to achieve the Supreme. So each particular yuga has its own yuga dharma. So then this is Treta Yuga. So in Treta Yuga they perform the fire sacrifices, the great Agnihotras, the great Yogyas. So he is doing this yajna, but the whole point of the Bhagavatam is teaching us that whenever we do a sacrifice of yajna, it is meant for Krishna's pleasure. It is meant to purify our consciousness. And that's why Prabhupada is pointing out in this section, the best yajna is chanting the holy name. So whether you're chanting individually or collectively, that is the greatest sacrifice, that is the greatest yajna. And it is powerful. And it purifies one's consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. So this is the whole point of performing the chanting of the Maha Mantra, is to purify our consciousness. So Cheta Chitta means the consciousness. Darpana means like the mirror, the Darpana. And the Marjanam means to clean. So we're cleaning the consciousness, the mirror of the consciousness. The whole point of our chanting is to see ourselves in the mirror. So when you become purified by your chanting, who will you see? Who will you see in the mirror? Yourself. And what will you look like? What will you look like?
Your own sarup.
Yeah, your sarup. And what does that look like? Satchitananda, Vigraha. Yeah, but what did you, what, who are you?
The soul.
Yeah, the soul. But what does you, what, how do, what do you look like?
Seven
of, yeah, I know. But what do you look like? Who are you?
So,
yeah, Gopura and Gopi. But who are you? That's the point. None of us know who we are. We're not this. None of us know who we are. That's the point. The whole point of our chanting is to realize who we are.
And Brahmasmi.
Yeah, aham Brahmasmi. Yeah, it means to understand God and ourselves. Self-realization and God-realization, Prabhupada says, they happen simultaneously. So the whole point of chanting is to purify the consciousness so that we will see ourselves. Right? In the reflection of our consciousness, we'll actually see who we are. And then we'll see Krishna as he is. That is the whole goal of the yajna. So this is the point of Sankirtan. Most of us just have trouble staying awake while we're chanting. This kind of chanting will not take you a long, long way. If you're falling asleep all the time while you're chanting, how will you ever realize Krishna or yourself? You have to purify your consciousness. You have to stay awake. You have to develop taste for chanting. This is called Nama Ruchi. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Prabhupada says, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? This should be the consciousness of the devotee when you're chanting. You say, why should I just chant 16 rounds? I should be chanting 16,000 rounds, on and on and on. So that should be the consciousness of the devotee. So if we're chanting properly, if we're following the yajna properly, purification will take place. And you will achieve Krishna. And that is our goal. That is what we're aiming for. We're aiming to see Krishna. Prabhupada says the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is to see Krishna face to face. Right? And Prabhupada says to take Krishna by the hand, like Mother Yashoda, and lead him. So Prabhupada said that is the goal of our movement. Just like we see each other now, we should be able to see Krishna like this. So why we cannot see? Because the eyes are contaminated. The consciousness is contaminated. So therefore, Lord Brahma says, Premanjanas Charita Bhakti Valochanina. When your eyes become purified, then you will be able to see Krishna face to face. That is the goal of the Krishna consciousness. So then, regardless of what our desires are, akama sarva kama va, that is the famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, we should approach Krishna. So, Pururava, he had a desire to attain Urvashi, but he performed the yajna, and during the yajna he worshipped Vishnu. So he was making advancement. He was getting purified unknowingly. So that is the point of performing any jagya. So even if we have material desires, but that should, in our line, in our tradition, according to the Bhagavatam, we should not make that our main desire. Material desires should not be the main desire. They're there in our heart, but they should not predominate or overcome our bhakti, but sometimes they do. Sometimes we become overwhelmed by material desires, and that's what drives us and motivates us, even in devotional service. But the main desire should be Krishna's pleasure, just to give pleasure to Krishna. So we have to learn, when we do our devotional service, that that becomes our main goal, just to give Krishna pleasure. And the other desires have to become subordinate or less compared to that desire. So, regardless of what the desire is, one should approach Krishna. But we should be very careful not to make the desire for sense gratification or the desire for moksha, karma, or dharma. These things should not overcome our consciousness. And then, Prabhupada points out, well, actually the Bhagavatam points out, because Prabhupada quotes this famous verse, that one needs sumedasa. Sumedasa means purified intelligence to understand Krishna. If the intelligence is not purified, you cannot take to the chanting of the holy name. So what makes the consciousness purified?
Chanting
does. Yeah, that's why we do Harinam Sankirtan. That's why we go out in public and chant on the streets. Did you go out tonight and chant on the streets? Yeah. You should have been there. Why weren't you there? Regularly, we should go out and chant on the streets and purify the conditioned souls by the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that purifies the consciousness. And then also by what are the other methods which the consciousness becomes? Purified. Yeah. People take prasadam. So by taking prasadam, they become purified. And this, the Prabhupada says, it gives them intelligence. It means it purifies the intelligence. And we've seen that. You know, I've seen people in Crossways over the years, or Gopals, and just taking prasadam, and then after many, times coming and taking the prasadam, then they begin to open the books on the tables. Mm-hmm. You still keep the books on the tables? Yeah, and Gopals as well. Yeah, so the books then, you see. I remember I used to have lunch in Gopal's, and one time I looked around, and everyone in the restaurant was reading Prabhupada's books. You know, they're all sitting there just reading while they're taking their prasad. So it gives you intelligence, taking prasadam. I've seen, we've had retreats at the farm, and half the people who came to the retreat, Western people, they'd been to our restaurants taking prasadam, the other half had not taken so much prasadam. And I saw the ones who take prasadam, it's much easier for them to understand our philosophy. Much easier. That's why we have to distribute prasadam, to give them brain substance, to purify their consciousness. That's why we do Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution and prasadam distribution. So the people become purified. And that gives them intelligence. And purified intelligence, then you can understand the Bhagavatam. That's why some people, they read it and they can't understand it. But if your intelligence is purified, then something will enter and you'll understand Krishna. Any points?
Ultimately, we get the taste, higher taste. As you said this morning, Haridas Thakur was doing 64 rounds on the beach, 64 silently, and then 64 loudly. 192
round
per day.
Good. Anything else? Okay. When the process of fruitive jagya became manifest within his heart, King Pururava went to the same spot where he had left Agni Stali. There he saw that from the womb of a shami tree, an ashwata tree had grown. He then took a piece of wood from that tree and made it into two aranis. Desiring to go to the planet where Urvashi resided, he chanted mantras, meditating upon the lower Arani as Urvashi, the upper one as himself, and the piece of wood between them as his son. In this way he began to ignite the fire.
The Vedic fire for performing yajna was not ignited with ordinary matches or similar devices. Rather, the Vedic sacrificial fire was ignited by the aranis, or two sacred pieces of wood, which produces fire by friction with a third. Such a fire is necessary for the performance of yajna. If successful, the yajna will fulfill the desire of its performer. Thus, Purva took advantage of the process of yajna to fulfill his lusty desire. He thought of the lower Arani as Urvashi, the upper one as himself, and the middle one as his son. A relevant Vedic mantra quoted herein by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is Sami Brahmatha Agni Mantra. A similar mantra is Urvasya, Urvas Urasi Purava. Pururva wanted to have children continuously by the womb of Urvasi. His only ambition was to have sex life with Urvashi and thereby get a son. In other words, he had so much lust in his heart that even while performing yajna, he thought of Urvashi instead of thinking of the master of yajna, the Yajneshwara, Lord Vishnu.
So what are the points?
Complete infatuation. 100%.
Anything else?
The people on earth, if they think of the demigods, that's the chance that we get reaction. The chance that we get reaction. But the Urvashi and all are in very high platform, they are in a very elevated platform, and their body is not too much material, it's made up of different elements. So the elements are different. So our body is material, and we are on a material platform. And if you meditate on the demigods, like any demigod, like Kochandra or Indra or Suryadev or Urvashi or Menaka or anybody, the chances that they will get become angry and they will curse or, you know, like because Arjuna also was cursed by Urvashi to become 1 year, like 3 years of Urvashi was cursed. Then Indra went and requested that they reduce the curse to 1 year, and then Urvashi reduced the curse. So without pious activities, if you go into that planet and you attain a form to match the demigods, then you can have like. You can think of them, but if you are in a material body and if you think of Urvashi, then the chances that she might curse or, you know, you reaction.
Anything else?
The previous verses, there is mentioned that Urvashi gave him a condition that at the end of the year he will associate points and then says he got a heroic son.
Yeah, he wanted to have more children. Yeah, more and more. So, it's been pointed out here that jagya has great potency, but you must perform it with purity. That's the point. And Sanatana Goswami, he points this out in Hari Bhakti Vilas, that when you're chanting japa, there are different elements which make your japa successful. And one of them is that you must be pure. In other words, if you're thinking about impure thoughts while chanting your japa, you don't get the result. So one has to control the mind. This is also part of japa. The mind has to be controlled. So you have to learn to control your mind when you're chanting. You need to learn to fix your mind and not think of impure things. So this requires great practice in devotional service. And this is what the cultivation of japa is. That's what the cultivation of chanting the holy name is. The that we have to gradually increase the depth of our meditation. And one of the other elements that Sanatana Goswami mentions is that we must contemplate the meaning of the mantra. While you're chanting Hare Krishna, you have to contemplate, what is this meaning? Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So you're meditating on Radha Krishna. So you have to contemplate, what is the meaning of the mantra? So Prabhupada gives the most basic and profound and you say deepest definition of the Mahamantra. He says, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. That's the basic definition Prabhupada gave us of the Mahamantra. So when we're chanting, this should be our meditation. O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. So you need to develop purity. Jagya is extremely powerful, but it depends on the consciousness of the performer. Just like when someone prepares prasadam, what is the consciousness while they're preparing prasadam? That makes the prasadam potent. Depends who is cooking. The person who's cooking, if they are more pure, if their consciousness is cleansed, and they're cooking the prasadam and offering that to the deity, then that prasadam is more potent than someone who is meditating on sense gratification while cooking. That's why it's very important in our temples around ISKCON that the devotees who are cooking for the other devotees, they're purified in consciousness. Because if they're not purified, it affects the other devotees. I know of myself, when I was a young devotee, I was sent to the Adelaide Temple for 1 year. And I went there, and I was only like a newer devotee. And then lusty desires were coming in my heart. And I was thinking, why is this coming like this? This wasn't bothering me so much. And now it's coming. And then I found out after some time that the devotee who was cooking for the devotees, he was not following properly the principles. You know, there was some impurity in his consciousness. So because of that, others were becoming affected also. So it is very important who is doing the cooking, what is the purity of the person who is doing the worship or doing the jagya. Now that is very important. And just like when someone is the Purohit or the priest in the Jagya, he must be qualified. He must be following. He must have pure consciousness. So all of these things are important in our devotional service. So how we chant, what is the purity while we're chanting? That is important. So it is a cultivation. Gradually we have to cleanse our consciousness so that in due course of time when we chant, it is done with purity and focus. Then Prabhupada also, he points out, be very conscientious or careful what you meditate upon while you're chanting. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name is like Chintamani. Chintamani means like wish fulfilling. Can fulfill your desires. So when you're chanting the holy name, you have to be very careful what you're meditating upon. Because those desires can easily be fulfilled. I remember some years ago, I used to chant the Harinam. We used to go through the city. And I used to go past one shop. And there was one particular like t-shirt in the shop. I was always attracted to that t-shirt. I used to go, you know, chanting on the Harinam. I used to look in and I think, wow, it's a nice t-shirt. And I keep chanting. And then we go past. And then like, next week I'd come past and see the t-shirt again. So some desire was there in my heart. Right. And then later on I got that t-shirt. I brought it. But then when I got the t-shirt, something was there in the consciousness to get that. And then it was delivered to me. I got that particular t-shirt. And then the first day I wore it, my little niece, she came up to me with jam all over her hand and just wiped it all over my t-shirt. So I had my material desire fulfilled, but then Krishna said, you know, what's, why are you chanting for that? Why are you chanting so you get a nice t-shirt? But that is our consciousness. If we meditate on something, you will get that thing. That is the potency of the holy name. And I've told before, I remember when I joined the temple, there was one devotee, and he was very into making money. And he was very strict in sadhana. He was grihastha. But he used to come every morning to the temple at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was here. And he would chant his japa. And then he'd go to Mangalati. And then after Mangalarti, he'd finish his rounds. By 6 o'clock every morning, 16 rounds were completed. And then he would go and read for 1 hour, Srimad Bhagavatam, then he would come for like that. Very strict, but he also had a very strong desire to make money. Because he was so strict in his sadhana, he became very rich.
Mm-hmm.
His businesses were just took off. But then, when he became successful, he left. He stopped practicing, stopped coming for Mangalarti, stopped chanting his rounds, all these things. And now he doesn't, I know, he's like a long way away. So, this is the potency of chanting. So it is very important what we cultivate in our consciousness and our heart while we're chanting. Because that is what we will get. Any points?
Yes.
Yeah.
This reminds me of Purna Prabhu. He was very strict. If you're cutting the vegetables, you are not allowed to talk. Very strict. And Yadu Shrestha is one person, very good consciousness. And he's very hard.
Yeah, Yadu told me one time, he added up how many offerings he cooked for Radha Vallabha.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the number. We'll have to ask him what it was. It was thousands of offerings that he cooked for Radha Vallabha. We'll have to ask him. I remember he said he added them up one day. Because he's cooking nearly every day several offerings. And he added it all up. It was like thousands of offerings. Like quite amazing.
Now it is Bridge Bus.
Yeah, I like Bridge Bus he's cooking. Because he's born in the Dham. He's a Dham Basi. I like his... There's a real potency in his cooking. And also Karuna Nidhi
Krishna.
For when he cooks, there's some potency in the cooking. Different devotees have that. So, it is said that when we go into the deity room, we have to maintain silence. As it mentions in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita. When you go to worship the deity, you must maintain silence. Because this maintains purity in the consciousness. And actually this is another item in those six items which Sanatana Goswami mentions. When you're chanting japa, one of the items is molna. If you want to be successful in your japa, you have to be silent. It means you don't talk. See, sometimes the devotees, they chant but they're talking the whole time. You know, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What did you do yesterday? Hare Ram. Yeah, but you won't get the desired effect. It says when you do japa, you have to do molna, which means you have to be silent, just chanting, nothing else. Any other points?
It is said that if someone else.
No, listen.
It's said that you have 50,000 thoughts a day.
Really?
So how are you supposed to control all those thoughts when you're chanting japa or doing something like cutting vegetables in the kitchen or something?
Yeah, you have to learn to think of Krishna. That's the point. You can't stop thinking. So you have to think 50,000 thoughts for Krishna. Everything that you have to learn to do, think more about Krishna. Because you can't stop the mind thinking. But you think about Krishna, about his pastimes, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes.
Because like when I'm chanting, thoughts come into my head and then
really?
Everyone has thoughts come into their head when they're chanting.
Really?
And that's how. So, how am I supposed to maintain, like, my thought, train of thought into Krishna when other thoughts are taking over?
Yeah, but you're letting them take over. You have to let the Krishna thoughts take over those thoughts, that's the point. You're letting, it's like an army fighting a battle. So you're letting that army defeat that army, that's the point. If you read more about Krishna, then when you're chanting, you'll have more to think about in terms of Krishna. That's the point. That's how it works. Take practice. Is it really 50,000 thoughts a day?
I'm pretty sure.
I think for you it's 100. Any other points? From Pururava's rubbing of the Aranis came a fire. By such a fire one can achieve all success in material enjoyment and be purified by seminal birth, initiation, and in the performance of sacrifice, which are invoked with the combined letters Om. Thus the fire was considered the son of King Pururava. Jagan Prabhu, you like to read it?
According to the Vedic verses, one can get a son through seven Shukra, one can get a bona fide disciple through initiation, Savitra, or one can get a son or disciple through the fire of sacrifice, Yajna. Thus, when Maharaj Pururva generated the fire by rubbing the Aranis, the fire became his son. Either by semen, by initiating, or by Yajna, one may get a son. The Vedic mantra Omkara or Pranava, consisting of the letters Om, can call each of these three methods into existence. Therefore, the word Nirmantanajataha indicate that by rubbing of the Aranis, a son was born.
Okay, what are the points?
I am became the son.
Anything else? Yes.
How the initiation, what is the method of initiation?
What's what?
That you can get a son by initiation?
A disciple, it says.
Disciple, for all disciples.
Yeah. Any other points?
One's guru is a spiritual father.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada said that. Spiritual master is formality. He said, actually, the spiritual father. That's the actual relationship. Anything else?
From that aspect, can we consider Prabhupada as our spiritual grandfather?
What do you think?
Can we address the spiritual master or Prabhupada as such, the father of?
Depends on your relationship with them, that's all. Prabhupada we call Prabhupada, so. And your spiritual master you call Guru Maharaj, so. But the feeling should be they are like spiritual father or grandfather. That's how you should feel. Any other point?
So the Pranava was the primary mantra in the Dvaita Yuga or something.
Yes.
Just giving a comment that Pranava was the primary mantra to be used for the Chaitanya instead of other Vedic hymns.
Yeah, it begins the mantra, but they chant so many mantras, but they always say Om Apavitra Vitrova. So it's like this is how the mantras begin. Om.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, all the letters are Om.
Yeah. Om. Any other points?
Om Tat Sat.
Om Tat Sat. Any other points? Yep, so Prabhupada is pointing out that in order to conceive a child, one must first purify the consciousness. Without purification, you will not get good progeny. That is the Vedic system. So first of all, one must follow the process of purification. So that's why Prabhupada said that when we conceive the child in ISKCON, we're expected to chant 50 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra first. Because it purifies the consciousness, that's the point. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, further, we've discussed before, he says that the night that you conceive, then you invite the devotees into your house and you have a program and purify the atmosphere, right? And then you conceive after getting the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So this is the consciousness of the devotee. So whenever we do a yajna, or whenever we perform some activity, first we have to purify our consciousness. So it's like in deity worship. Before you worship the deity, you have to do Bhuta Shuddhi. What is Bhuta Shuddhi? Yeah, purify the consciousness, the subtle body. That has to first become purified. So then you meditate on various mantras. And the mantras purify the subtle body so that you understand who you are. You situate yourself in like the Siddhadeha or the spiritual form. And then you worship the deity like that. And actually, we're taught, I've done many japa retreats with Sachinandan Swami, Burujan Prabhu, and they teach us that before you chant japa, you have to do Bhuta Shuddhi. You have to purify your consciousness before you chant the Maha Mantra. Before I chant the Maha Mantra, first I meditate on my Guru, Prabhupada, Pacific Succession, Goswamis, Panchatattva, various personalities in Vrindavan, right? And then Radha, Krishna, and then you begin to chant. Chant Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and then we'll chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. So you don't just pick up your beads and start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You first have to purify the consciousness. So before you conceive a child, before you initiate a disciple, before you perform a yajna, before you worship the deity, before you chant your japa, before you cook an offering, everything you do, you have to purify the consciousness. Before you study the Bhagavatam, right, there are nice verses from Sanatana Goswami that we should chant before we recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these things, it means the consciousness has to become purified. Then the devotional anga or activity you're performing, it purifies you. But if you do not purify your consciousness before you begin the activity, then you'll get less result. So it is important. Devotees take time to do these things, which is not easy because all our time is taken with going to work these days. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to even do our sadhana properly. Mm-hmm. And devotees have to chant their japa on the tram, on the train, on the bike, so many things. Clicking on the bike. I see devotees riding in the there, clicking on the bike. And even that devotee Sureshwar Prabhu, remember he came here to Melbourne, he was teaching that course about Prabhupada, the founder of Charakas. He lived in, you heard that story he told? He lived in Hawaii. He lived in Hawaii. And, was it Laguna Beach? It might have been Laguna Beach, I think. California. In America, it's like where all the surfing people live. So he was there, he was up on the second floor of the, like up here in Prabhupada House, like second floor. So he was up there in the window and he was doing his work, like his BBT work. And he, you know, it was midday. So he got his Brahmin thread. So he started to chant his Gayatri Mantra. So he's looking out the window on the road. And then it's California, so devotees, you know, they're surfing devotees, all sorts of devotees. So he saw one devotee riding past on the skateboard in front of the temple, you know, going down the hill, riding past the temple on the skateboard. And he's riding on the skateboard, and then he looked up and he saw Sureshwar was chanting his Gayatri, and he goes, like that. He was also chanting his Gayatri while he was he's riding the skateboard down the street, you know, like, you know. But you won't get the result, that's the point. You won't get the result.
I see Muchi chanting Japa
on the street. Yeah, Muchi skating around the city chanting. But you won't get the result. You won't get the result. Because what is the result? Premadan, we say every morning, Bahu Jamakadiyadi Shravani Kirpana, Tabutana Paya Krishna, Padi Premadan. Prema means love for Krishna. You won't get love for Krishna. You know, you can't get love for Krishna when you're on the skateboard or on the bike with the clicker. Or, you know, devotees do everything. You know. just like here in the temple, we have the laundry, you know, just behind the parrot. So I lived there in the ashram for 8 years. I was living in the Brahmachari ashram. So I'd come into the laundry every, you know, so many times I saw devotees, you know, all the Brahmacharis or Brahmacharinis, they come in, and they're, you know, chanting their japa. And on the other hand, they're putting the washing in the laundry, in the washing machine, and putting the washing in, and then putting the coins in, and then putting the powder in. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's not japa. Japa means jhana. Jhana means meditation. When you're chanting, it is meant to be one focus, undivided attention. Actually, what we're aiming for in japa is samadhi. Samadhi means like one point. So when you're doing all these other things, if you're doing something else, then you know, you won't get the result. It's limited what you get. Like I said, a devotee the other morning, I was walking to the temple in the morning, and he's outside the temple room on the notice board. He's chanting his japa. He's reading the notice board. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna. So you're not going to get the result. You know, you can chant for lifetimes. You can come back next lifetime, chant in front of the notice board. Come back in the next lifetime, chant in front of the notice board. You know, they'll just keep changing all the posters, but everything will be the same. But you won't get love of God. So it says that you must first purify your consciousness. Then you make advancement. So before you chant your japa, before you do any activity, first you must purify the consciousness. This is important. And it is said here that by performing jagya, one becomes elevated. Now the Hare Krishna mantra, which is our main process of purification in the age of Kali, it is called a siddha mantra. The Hare Krishna mantra is a mantra which can make you perfect. It can reveal your siddha deha, or your spiritual form, your swarupa with Krishna. Jivara swarupa hoy, Krishnara nitya das. In the Hare Krishna mantra, everything is there. Prabhupada actually says the whole spiritual world is in that mantra. Prabhupada says that when you chant that mantra, Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. Right? So everything is in that mantra. But when we chant, we are always distracted. So therefore we don't get the actual benefit. But within that mantra, it is a siddha mantra, which means it can give you perfection, sadhya, which means the goal of Krishna consciousness, which is bhava and ultimately prema bhakti, that can be given to you by this mantra. So this shows why we must chant perfectly. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, out of all the offences, which offence is the mother of all the other offences?
Inattentiveness.
Yeah. If you're inattentive whilst chanting, you can't get the result. That's why the most important thing is that when you chant, you must chant attentively. Because you have to avoid committing the 10 offences. But the cause of all the other offences is your inattentive chanting. If you're attentive while chanting, you won't commit the other offences. You won't offend devotees. Right? Regularly. It means, you know, you might commit some small offence or something here, but you won't become like a regular thing. But if you don't chant properly, you will commit offences to devotees. If you don't chant properly, you'll disobey the order of your guru. If you don't chant properly, then doubts will come in your consciousness and you commit sinful activity on the strength of the holy name. So many things will happen. So you have to be very careful. So it says here that if you chant properly, your consciousness will be elevated very rapidly. That is the potency. Any points?
I heard people saying that even guru is effective. If the disciple is not doing, you can't do. The guru is also effective.
Not so much by his chanting, but by if the disciple is performing path, simple activity, yeah, then the guru will get some. Prabhupada says, like bad dreams, or sometimes even more, when he becomes sick or something like that.
But does he not go disciplic succession? Why the guru is saying,
because. Prabhupada says, like when the water goes through the pipe gets touched by the water, becomes wet. So when the karma is going through the guru to Krishna, then because it goes through, then some sickness might take place. Just like when Prabhupada was in Mumbai, after he did the Pandal programs, and like sometimes 30,000 people came to listen to Prabhupada, or 10,000 people came to listen to him. So after the program, he was walking through the crowd, everyone would come and touch his feet. And then after a few nights, because Prabhupada got sick, so many people touching him, and he's a pure devotee. But then Prabhupada said to his disciples, do not let them touch my feet anymore, I become sick. So devotees would stop them from touching Prabhupada's feet. So if the disciple is not following properly, the guru will get some reaction.
Yogin Maharaj.
What's that?
Now Yogin Maharaj was saying the same thing in Vrindavan lecture. Don't let people touch your feet.
Yeah, should not let the people touch your feet. And then 1974, I think it was, then Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada became sick, quite sick, I think it was in 74. And then Prabhupada said, the reason I'm sick is because 80% of my leaders are not following the principles properly. Prabhupada said that. Devotees were not following properly. So therefore he was getting reactions. Prabhupada said that's why he became sick. So it means we have to follow. Any points? Yes, sir. Stay awake. Now, if you fall asleep, how are you going to remember Krishna? So stay awake. Don't eat so much in the nighttime. Make sure you get enough proper rest. Go to bed early. Get up early and chant attentively. And overcome the ignorance. You know, devotees that fall asleep when they're chanting, you have to fight. Stay awake. You can stay awake. You allow the mode of ignorance to overcome you. That's the point. Does that answer your question? Any other point? Okay. Which verse are we on? 47. By means of that fire, Pururava, who desired to go to the planet where Urvashi resided, performed a sacrifice, by which he satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the enjoyer of the results of sacrifice. Thus he worshipped the Lord, who is beyond the perception of the senses and is the reservoir of all the demigods. Sri Rampa.
As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Muktaram Yekyatapadam Sarva Loka Maheswaram, any loka or planet through which one wants to go is the property of Supreme Personality of Godhead, the enjoyer of performance of sacrifice. The purpose of yajna is to satisfy Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, as we have explained many times, the yajna of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the only sacrifice that can satisfy Supreme Lord. When Lord is satisfied, one can fulfill any desire, material or spiritual. Bhagavad Gita also says, Yajnan Bhavati Prajnaya. By offering sacrifices to Lord Vishnu, one can have sufficient rainfall. When there is sufficient rainfall, the earth becomes fit to produce everything. Sarvakama Dughamahi. If one can utilize the land properly, one can get all necessities of life from the land, including food grains, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. Everything one gets for the material wealth is produced from earth, and therefore it is said, Sarva Kama Duhamahi. Everything is possible by performing yajna. Therefore, although Pururava desired something material, he factually performed yajna to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is Adarshaya, beyond the perception of Pururava and everyone else. Consequently, some kind of yajna must be performed to fulfill the desires of the living entity. Yajnas can be performed in the human society only when society is divided by Varnasram Dharma into four Varnas and four Ashramas. Without such a regulative process, no one can perform the yajnas. And without performance of yajna, no material plans can make human society happy at any time. Everyone should therefore be induced to perform yajnas. In this age of Kali, the yajna recommended is Sankirtana, the individual or collective chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This will bring the fulfillment of all necessities of human society.
Any points?
Lack of yajna basically degrades the society day by day. That is the effect of that.
Anything else?
The problem is that if you utilize land properly, you can get anything from the land.
Yes. So, once again, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the holy name can fulfill any desire. So it is extremely important that we desire the right thing. So what is it that we desire? What is in our heart? Krishna will test us. That is the process of bhakti. Krishna is testing us all the time to see what is our desire. What is it that you want in the service of Krishna? So constantly we are being tested. And constantly it is being seen. What is it that we want? So Krishna wants to see, are we actually sincere? Are we actually desiring to focus on Him? Or will we take shelter of Him? Or will we take shelter of Maya? So this is purification. So all the tests which come from Krishna are meant to purify us. So it's very important that we learn to desire the right thing while chanting the holy name. Then Prabhupada points out that all your necessities can come by performing yajna. So the more you perform your yajna, the more the necessities of life come. You get everything that you need or everything that you want by yajna, by sacrifice. So that is the point. That is the goal of life. The basic necessities of life are two things, Prabhupada says, is food and shelter. And when you perform yajna properly, you get these things substantially. Hands up if you've ever been hungry since you became a Hare Krishna devotee. What's up? What are you saying? Hands up if you ever became hungry since you became a devotee. So we don't even know what hunger is anymore. No, because Krishna gives you all your desires. So He will fulfill everything. So when you perform yajna, everything will come. So the system is, and Prabhupada, that happened in South India, might have been Hyderabad, then Prabhupada was there. And there had been a big drought in Hyderabad for a couple of years, no rain. And then they got all the brahmanas to do yajna. So it was in the newspapers, on the television. All the brahmanas came, they did big yajna, chanted all the mantras, and then no rain came. Right. And then, a few days later, Prabhupada came to Hyderabad with his Western disciples. They did Harinam around the city, and then it rained continuously. And Prabhupada said, just see, the Sankirtan yajna. When you perform the Sankirtan yajna, everything will come, all the necessities of life. So that is the way that peace and happiness on this earth is Sankirtan. So we have to get the whole world chanting Hare Krishna. The more people chant, then the more you'll be happy. And Prabhupada says, just try the chanting and see if it makes you happy. Just do an experiment. So you chant, if it makes you happy, then keep chanting. And if it doesn't make you happy, that's up to you, but if it makes you happy, Prabhupada said, keep chanting. Just try it. Make an experiment. Okay. In the Satya Yuga, the first millennium, all the Vedic mantras were included in one mantra, pranav, the root of all Vedic mantras. In other words, the Atharva Veda alone was the source of all Vedic knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, was the only worshipable deity. There was no recommendation for worship of the demigods. Fire was one only, and the only order of life in human society was known as also. So Prabhupada points out that in the Kali Yuga, the process of perfection is very simple. It is simply Harinam Sankirtan. Kale Doshi Nite Rajan Astiheko Mahanguna Kirtanat Eva Krishna Sya Mukta Sangha Param Rajat. So in this age of Kali, it is an ocean of faults. Dosha. But there is Mahaguna, one good quality. Kirtanat Eva Krishna Sya Mukta Sangha Param Rajat. Mukta Sangha Param Rajat. You become liberated and you go back to Krishna. That is the ultimate. So it's saying here that this is the goal of life. To be Mukta Sangha, to get this and do Param Rajat, to go back to Krishna. Any points? Then one more verse. Oh Maharaj Parikshit, at the beginning of Treta Yuga, King Pururava inaugurated the Kama Kanda sacrifice. Thus Pururava, who considered the Jaki fire his son, was able to go to Gandhava Loka as he desired. So Prabhupada says that whatever you desire, that will take you to that particular destination. So we have to be very careful what it is we desire when we are chanting. Because if you want to go to Swaga, the heavenly planets, you can go there. If you want to go to any place, just by chanting, it can take you there. Just like Narad Muni, he chants, and then Prabhupada says, he walks around the universe on the sound vibration of the Veena, and he's chanting. So in other words, when you are chanting, wherever you direct that chanting, whatever you focus on, the chanting will take you to that place or that thing. So if you meditate on Krishna, you will go to Krishna, but if you meditate on something else, then you will get that thing. Any other points? Okay, Srila Prabhupada.